Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, December 11th, 2015. And on today's podcast, we are going to discuss President Obama's speech last Sunday night, his speech given in the Oval Office, in which he discussed terrorism in general, the United States' response to terrorism, and the San Bernardino terrorist attack specifically. In that speech, the president said, "We are going to prevail because we are, quote, on the right side of history." Well, that phrase always interests me, the right side of history. Today, I take issue with that statement, and I argue that we are moving further and further into the wrong side of history. But I'm always curious about what history looks like to President Obama, since it usually looks differently to me. For example, a couple of months ago, I was doing a radio interview when the host asked me about all the different names for the organization that calls itself the Islamic State. Many people use the term ISIS, I-S-I-S, which stands for Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. This group is not contained in the nations of Iraq and Syria, since it has affiliations across North Africa and across the rest of the Middle East. It has conducted attacks worldwide. It claims to be a caliphate and to speak for all Muslims around the world, and it acts like and has the characteristics of a nation state. Its fighters are well trained, well equipped. They are warriors willing to conduct attacks around the world, and they are obviously willing to die in the process. For these reasons, I prefer to refer to the organization as it refers to itself, the Islamic State, or IS, but President Obama prefers to use and has directed everyone in his administration to use the term ISIL, I-S-I-L, which stands for Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. His choice of ISIL is no small thing. It gives us some indication of his view of what the Middle East really should look like. The Levant, geographically speaking, is comprised of Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, the West Bank and Gaza Strip or Palestine, Israel, the Egyptian Sinai, and parts of Iraq. That Obama has chosen the term ISIL, then, is rather chilling. If I were an Israeli, especially an Israeli leader, I would take note of that. I am not the only one to wonder about the right side of history and what it really means. Many of us have been wondering where the changes we've seen in the United States are taking us. What kind of history is that? Calls for restrictions on free speech, with the Attorney General of the United States using a phrase such as, quote, "We are all for free speech, but," end quote. These things make one wonder. The economic troubles, including debt now past $18.8 trillion, with $100 billion being added to the debt in the last 10 days of November. These things lead one to a feeling of unease, cause one to wonder, where will we go? Where will we be in history, whichever side we're on? Speaking of history, let's go back to the Middle East for a moment. Some members of the world community do not share the president's view of history, i.e. the progressive view of history, and they are gearing up to make history in their image, not in President Obama's image. For example, in the last 300 years, Russia and Turkey have fought no less than 14 wars. Mr. Putin has hinted that the Turks shooting down of the Russian airplane we talked about last week was an act of war that could provoke a military response. Yesterday, a Russian submarine operating in the Med fired cruise missiles into Syria. Mr. Putin said he, quote, hopes that nuclear weapons will not be necessary in the war against the terrorists, but he would not rule their use out. At the same time, the Chinese plans to establish their first overseas naval installation. The base will be in the nation of Djibouti, strategically located on the Horn of Africa, which is approximately 4,800 miles from China. That is a vital area for Middle East oil shipping. China is obviously growing into its role as a global power and is establishing the logistical support for its military to defend its interests around the world. What does all this mean for President Obama's right side of history? Well, it means that while he sits idly by making speeches about how climate change is more dangerous than terrorism, the world is laughing at him and rapidly passing him by, or at least rapidly catching up. Since the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991, we have lived in a unipolar world. Incidentally, Mikhail Gorbachev announced on Christmas Day in 1991 that the Soviet Union had officially ceased to exist, and the Soviet flags came down from the Kremlin on Christmas Day, hopefully for the last time. So this Christmas will be the 24th anniversary of that fall. We have lived in that unipolar world for 24 years, with the United States being the only truly global power during that time. Russia and China, along with a few lesser players such as Iran, have set out to change that and make this a multipolar world. In such a world, the United States would no longer be able to act unilaterally anywhere and anytime in the world it wants. China and Russia have a weak United States president to help them, and they will have this president for one more year. Even after that year is up, the U.S. is so far in debt that countering China and Russia's buildup will be difficult, economically speaking. The multipolar moves are not just military, however. China is making economic deals around the world. It now is going to be included in the International Monetary Fund basket of currencies held as the world's reserve. China has also established an inter-Asian investment bank to counter their exclusion from the IMF and World Bank funds. Perhaps that explains the IMF capitulating on the Chinese reserve currency. Since World War II, the United States Navy has controlled the seas of the world and thus has controlled world trade. Russian naval efforts to compete in part explain the Soviet difficulties and the Soviet collapse. The United States Navy is still supreme. No nation is even close to its power and its numbers. But Russia and China have been working for decades on countermeasures, much cheaper countermeasures, including extremely advanced land-based supersonic anti-ship missiles to counter U.S. carriers. They have also invested heavily in space weaponry to counter U.S. satellite systems. All three countries have satellites, of course, but no nation is nearly as dependent on satellites as the United States. Satellite navigation systems control weapons, including the flight and targeting of missiles, and even the navigation of ships at sea. U.S.-led sanctions have hurt Russia, no doubt about it, but Mr. Putin has effectively countered the sanctions by making economic deals with China and by pressuring Europe to reduce their effect. The Europeans just said recently they would not be in favor of extending the sanctions against Russia any further to counter the U.S. Navy's control of the seas and of trade across the world. The largest and most sophisticated system of trade transport in history is now operational, but is still being refined and further developed. China calls this system, quote, the Silk Road. After the old caravan routes from the Middle East across Asia, China, and into Europe, today's Silk Road contains rail lines across Asia, across Russia, into Europe, as well as a gigantic system of pipelines to transport Middle Eastern and Russian energy to Europe and China, and Chinese goods back to them. The really interesting thing about all this is that we, the United States taxpayers, you and I, folks, paid for all of it with the massive trade deficits we've been running with China for decades. In summary, I would argue that the United States in the last 24 years has squandered its advantages, squandered the unipolar world. It has been the worst mismanagement of a great nation's military, its economy, and its place in the world of any time in the history of the world. We owe all of it to the Democrat and Republican parties. They have been very successful in their efforts to destroy America and Western civilization in general. Should we then continue to thank them with our votes? one final word on the right side of history, folks. The president said as one of in his speech that one of the things he is doing to stop terrorism, quote, "We're working with Turkey to seal its border with Syria." Can't you see the irony in that, folks? The president is working with Turkey to seal its border, a nation thousands of miles from the United States. He can work to seal its border, but he cannot and will not seal the border of the United States. That's leadership, folks, but it's the wrong side of history. At least that's the way I see it. Till next time, folks, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.